What's going on, Clipper Nation?
Ooh, tough day yesterday.
Very, very hard loss. A lot. There was some good.
There was a lot of good with the bad.
There
was a lot of good.
If you're unaware, we're of course referring to last night's loss to the Jazz, which vaulted us out of sixth place down to tied for eighth. I'm pretty sure
still in eighth,
tied for seventh, I guess. So yeah, we're gonna kick things off with a little recap of that, and then today is Thursday. If you were unaware,
that means
Thirsty Thursdays, where we talk about who and what we're thirsty for, and then we're gonna wrap things up with some general Clips talk, as we tend to do here on Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. Before we get started, I should introduce us.
Yeah,
I'm William, the Opinion Update,
and I'm Positive Chuck Mockler. We are coming at you guys 5 days a week.
Yeah,
sometimes six if there's a really frustrating loss on a Saturday.
Definitely. maybe six. We might do a live stream this weekend. Who knows?
Oh yeah, we'll see what happens.
But anyways, we are still going live every day for the rest of this week, which is
one
at
more
this
day.
Point only today and tomorrow. But if you haven't tuned in, that's at Locked On Clips on Twitter. Be sure to check it out. If you can't check it out, send us your questions and thoughts all throughout the week, and we'll field them.
We'll figure it out.
All right, without any further ado, let's get this thing started.
So last night, Will kind of nailed the score. He said it would be a six-game affair.
Yeah,
way.
Yeah. I was right on that six-point differential.
Small victory there. We lost to the Jazz 111-105. For a game that we weren't supposed to win, this kind of went the way we thought it would, with a very frustrating ending.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
The Jazz killed us. We're going to look at some quick stats. As a team, we shot 39% from the floor and 19% from three.
Yeah.
Which is something we were kind of worried about. No one scored more than 18.
But it was a very evenly distributed scoring for the Clippers.
There was one, two, three.
Yeah, it's
six guys in double figures?
Yeah.
Yeah, six guys in double figures. Gallo led the starters with 18 points, 3 of 14 shooting,
yeah,
including 0 of 6 from 3.
Really rough.
Lou Will also had 18 on 5 of 18 shooting.
Yeah.
Trez had 16 and 8. He shot 70%, which brought up our shooting percentage a ton. And then Shea started really strong. He went 6 of 8 for 13 points, and then Bev continued his, you know, fantastic rebounding, I don't know, resurgence.
He looked really good. Some of those rebounds, what is happening when Beverly is snagging boards over Gobert?
That was incredible. Like, I don't know,
that's
positioning
wild,
is on point, but he had 12, 10, and 3. The Jazz also shot poorly. Our defense didn't really let us down in terms of guarding the Jazz.
No.
It was just kind of the interior and the rebounds.
Definitely.
They shot 41% total, but they did hit 32% of their threes. Donovan Mitchell absolutely killed us. 32 points on 45 shooting. Gobert had 20, 13, and 4 blocks. And then Derek Favors had kind of a sneaky double-double with 13 and 11.
For sure.
We started hot.
We really did, got off to a nice lead. 17 points there. Looked really, really good.
Yeah. 17 points in the lead. And then it just kind of like, there was that frenetic energy that kind of overtook the team, it felt like.
Yeah.
It felt like both teams were kind of like too amped up or something.
There were definitely points, where the pace was getting, it was just getting to that point where I call it like our anxious pace, where we start to kind of make mistakes. And I think it just would have been beneficial to slow down in some of those things, especially when you just have a comfortable lead. You know, there's no need to like get too ahead of yourself.
Yeah, just keep them at arms. Just, you know, make shots when you have to. The first quarter was nice for a couple reasons. Shea went 4 of 5 with an early three.
Yeah.
Really thought this was going to be a, you know, kind of a takeover game for him. Zoo hit 2 of 3 in the first, which seemed like good momentum, you know, kind of manufacturing. But he ended the game with 3 total field goals made. So that kind of dipped off. And then Donovan Mitchell went 0 for 4 in the first.
Yeah.
And just absolutely demolished us from the way there.
Definitely.
Which sucked. The second, field goal percentage went down to 32%. Theirs just kept getting higher. Mitchell went 4 of 6. Zoo went 0 for 4 in the second.
Yeah.
His touch was, we're going to get into kind of like people were mad that Zoo wasn't on the floor late in the game.
Yeah, definitely.
His offense just wasn't there last night.
Yeah. He's just not as reliable yet around the basket. He'll get there.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. He's not always even the greatest rebounder.
Mm-hmm. Our best shooting stretch was in the third.
Yeah.
Which is very surprising.
Yeah, we weathered. I mean, I th- I'd have to look back, but this is like our best third quarter scoring in at least the last like three games.
Yeah, they shot 42%. We only had one made three in the third, which was a really big issue. Which kind of like, they only had one made three. We just couldn't get a more like aggressive position with the lead.
Definitely. I'm sorry I missed your username, but I got a hot take on there that said that Ralph and Don McClain were really jinxing the squad after the first quarter.
They might have, dude. They were pretty high.
Man, I actually watched this game on mute, so I missed that, but I'm going to have to go back and look at it. I love that take.
Shout out Don McClain. I really like him as an announcer.
I do. Yeah.
Since
he's really solid.
Maggette isn't returning, I don't think. We're still waiting on that.
We don't need to touch on that right now.
Yeah, we saved the usual bathroom break for the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
We shot 26% in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
To their 47%. Another quarter with just one made three. Gallo and Lou went a combined 1 for 11 in this quarter. It absolutely killed us.
Yeah, definitely. But even still, like with their superior shooting, I mean, we only got outscored by 6 points in that fourth quarter.
It was, yeah.
And, you know, like we just did so many good things, you know, that I'm pretty sick of saying something was an encouraging loss. But dang it, this was a pretty encouraging loss.
This was an encouraging loss. Let's talk about should we talk about those two possessions?
Yeah, for sure.
So two plays late in the fourth were backbreakers. Mm-hmm. Anyone who watched it, you guys know what I'm talking about. 3 minutes left. It's 96 to 100. We are losing. Gallo misses a three. Neto grabs the rebound. Crowder gets a look from three. He misses. Ingles gets the board.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
Very frustrating.
Neto misses a three. Gobert gets the second offensive rebound.
Yeah.
Ingles makes a three to stretch it to 96-103.
Yeah. That was pretty much the end.
Yeah. That wasn't quite out of hand. It still kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And then a minute and a half later, with 1:46 left, it's a 5-point game. Definitely still within reach, especially with this Clippers team. Trez fouls Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Mitchell misses both free throws.
Yeah.
Bailing us out. But the Jazz get the rebound. Crowder somehow misses a dunk. I think he missed two dunks in this game.
Yeah, we did a really good job neutralizing him, but sorry, we can touch on that later.
Crowder misses a dunk. Then Gobert gets the rebound.
Yeah.
Gets a dunk. It's 100-107. We close the gap to 4 points later. Lou misses a three with 20 seconds left.
Over. Hey, what's up, y'all? Whoever just tuned in.
That was just the two like heavy sigh moments.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of encapsulated everything that we need to work on.
Definitely. Yeah. Do you want to talk about the going down the stretch with Zoo maybe closing out the game or?
Yeah. What were your so a bunch of people on Clippers Twitter were really upset that. Zoo was not out there when we kind of clearly needed some rebounds. What do you
think? Yeah.
Why?
Why was Zoo not out there?
Yeah.
I just feel like when we're in a deficit, I think that it's more comfortable for us to rely on our offense, especially just given the amount of games that like the two-man lineup of Trez and Lou Will has been able to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
Even from much larger deficits than we've faced at any point in the fourth quarter of this game.
Yeah.
I think you kind of lean back on what you know.
Doc is a guy who likes his guys. We're not saying that Zubats isn't one of his guys. He's just new.
Yeah, definitely. And the starters in this game finished with the highest plus minus of any of the lineups that we rolled out that night. But
which is pretty shocking.
Like with a grain of salt, I mean, a lot of that was from the first.
Yep.
So I just don't know. Like, and then down the stretch. Obviously Shea with so many fouls and everything. I do understand
tough.
Not running out the regular starting lineup. I am a little perplexed as to why we didn't go a little bit bigger. Like maybe, you know, you still can have Lou and Trez out there, but you know, maybe you do still have Zubats at the five.
He only played 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is what gets me. Matt Chong, I believe, just asked if we have the rebounding numbers. I do right in front of me. The Clippers had 47 total rebounds, which is usually great. But not great when you play a team that has 56.
Yeah.
So
still, I mean, I don't
admirable,
know. I guess somewhat close.
You know?
Sorlandis with the fouls. Oh, man.
There were some other rotation issues. Gallo and Lou were just ice cold.
Yeah.
Which is, people were kind of complaining, why is Gallo out there? Why is Lou out there? It sucks when they're ice cold because we don't have other guys who can come in and do anything really close to what they do.
I would have
lean on, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, JaMychal Green even had kind of a, he had
clutch
an okay
buckets.
Night. Yeah. 4 for 10. So, you know, maybe he could have gotten some more minutes. I don't know.
He went 0 for 4 from 3, which was kind of shitty, I guess. Yeah. Ty Wallace had maybe the worst game of his season. He went 0 for 4 in just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which was kind of rough. Garrett Temple, 1 for 4, 11% from 3 as a bench unit.
Yeah. Really rough.
That's tough. And that's not just those three guys. That's counting Lou in there. So anytime that happens, it's just not going to pop. Like,
the bench played really well, though, outscoring Utah's bench 46-22.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to neutralize Crowder and Korver.
Korver, which was the biggest, disappeared.
Yeah, which was like the biggest factor in keeping the bench in the game and keeping this score, you know, within a puncher's chance.
Yeah, we had a chance throughout this whole game. We also, they only had two more free throws than we did.
Yeah.
So we did a little good job on that. The thing that really got me, I was ranting to Will about this, the Utah bench, 0 free throws attempted.
Yeah.
And it's like, when that is the situation in a 6-point game, that's just a backbreaking thing to look at.
Yeah.
Like, they got...
That we weren't able to capitalize on something like that.
Yeah, we couldn't capitalize on that. Shamet had a bit of a rough game.
I would agree.
Doc seems to really trust Shamet.
Yeah.
Which is good, but it also, you know, with Shea's fouls, Shea was kind of done after that fifth foul, which was frustrating.
Yeah.
We kind of talked when we were watching the game that even with like a minute left, he has 5 fouls. Who cares? Put him in there.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to miss. It's not like a red card. You're not going to miss the next game. Like, someone said 5 for 26 for real. Yes. Very for real. Very frustrating. But, you know, scheduled loss. So we kind of knew we were going to lose, but it was just tough to watch.
Yeah. Hard. I mean, hard game for sure. Coming off of a back to back. You know, immediately leaving for Utah. Really, really hard game to win.
But, I mean, we played hard. The hustle was good. There were a bunch of positives.
There were really a bunch of positives. And, you know, maybe it's a sign. I don't know. Maybe it's a sign that we are sort of starting to break this third quarter curse.
Mm-hmm.
Tough to say.
There was a great take from LA Clippers film room. They tweeted at this like right before we started that said, I know it's not going to happen, but I would love to see Lou start for Shamet starting the second half.
Oh,
In
the second half for sure.
I like that. That was a really good take. Also, follow LA Clippers film room if you're not. He's fantastic.
And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. And I asked Doc the question whether he thought this third quarter stuff was a result of mentality or matchups. And he said that he didn't have an answer, but I just feel like anytime we don't just roll out the same starting unit at the third, it just goes a little bit better. I mean,
yeah.
Given a little bit of a I don't know,
jolt,
a limited sample size,
for sure.
Somebody's asking why doesn't Lou just start?
It's not his game.
It's not his game.
Same reason why Trez doesn't start.
Yeah, it's not his game, and like he works best with Trez on that second unit. We tried starting Trez. It's not really It's just not really a good fit.
Someone's commenting about Shamet being a liability on D. He is a big liability. We'll get into that in a sec. Right after this break, we're going to get into Thirsty Thursdays. So someone just commented on Shamet. I think I'm thirsty for, we do this every week, by the way, things we want to see, is to Shamet feel a little more comfortable in the offense?
Yeah. So early on, it just seemed like a great fit.
Immediately. That comeback against Boston.
He was immediately clicking. And then, not really happening.
And it's weird because like the numbers are there. In 7 games with us, he's shooting 40% from 3, 10 points a game, but it's great. But he's averaging 28 minutes a game.
For sure.
Which is a bunch. And like I'm happy for it, but with his liability on defense, it's just...
I don't think he's as big of a liability as we're saying right now.
Not as big as J.J. Redick was?
Not as big as J.J. Redick is. He has like a larger wingspan than Redick.
Yeah.
He also just is like... He's pesky. He's just not always in the right spots. But overall, like the way that he fights on defense and stuff, I think is pretty solid. And he just does have a motor on him. So, no, he's not the best defender yet. I wouldn't say that he's a complete liability.
He's not like a mask. Like we don't have to like shove him on like someone.
Yeah, no.
I was saying he's like an inch away from getting it figured out.
Yeah,
you know, he's just like he's like half an inch off from just really gelling.
For sure. Somebody just brought up on the live stream that the Lou and Trez combo off the benches are statistically our highest scoring combo.
Yeah.
the highest scoring combo off the bench in the NBA.
And maybe NBA history if they continue this pace.
It's currently, if they stay on pace for where they are right now, they rank in first. And I believe it was last season they ranked third in the top five in the NBA off the bench combos.
What are you thirsty for?
I'm thirsty for just like really the shooting to work itself out.
What is happening?
I don't know what that's going to take. Part of me wonders if maybe in the stretch of games coming up, maybe we leave Gallo out for a little bit.
You need some load management.
Maybe we do a little bit of load management with him. Something ain't right. And I'm sure the season is beginning to take its toll on him too. You know, it's been a while since he's done close to
he looks like he's maybe starting to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
I got some good stat. I have a fun Gallo stat and a not fun Gallo stat to give you guys. Mm-hmm. So from Brian Kalbrowski, shout out to Brian Kalbrowski. He had a tweet today. Gallo has a career high in true shooting percentage and player efficiency rating. He trails just Paul George, KD, and LeBron among small forwards for ESPN's offensive real plus minus.
Okay.
That's tight.
Yeah.
The not fun Gallo stat is from Justin Russo, Fly By Night on Twitter. Please follow him. Great stat guy. He said, since February 7th, which is when he returned from a back injury, Gallo is only shooting 34% from three on a team-leading 47 attempts. The team as a whole has shot just 33.5 on three-point attempts in that span, 25th in the NBA since the trade deadline.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, like, I think that physicality, like, he's never played... He also seems to be playing a more physical game this year.
Yeah, he's just trying. He's giving a lot more effort on defense than he ever has.
That's what I think it might be, is he's just taking more lumps down there.
Yeah.
Like, 2 years ago, I would never have expected him to be the guy diving for a ball and getting a giant black eye.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You know? Definitely a lot more effort there. I do think it's starting to wear down on him. Somebody on the live stream said, can we retire the phrase load management? Absolutely.
Nope. I'm leaving it, dude.
Absolutely. Let's call it nappy time. Is
yeah,
that
nappy
better?
Time, yeah.
But anyways, in the next upcoming games, you know, we do play the Bulls, we do play the Knicks twice. So there's some hard games thrown in there against the Lakers, Thunder, Trailblazers, but there are some opportunities for a little bit of nappy time there.
I'm looking at this 4-game stretch of Lakers, Thunder, Celtics, Blazers.
Yeah.
After Kings, Knicks. So we're probably going to get a win against the Knicks.
Yeah.
We have to win on Friday.
Yes.
Like with only 19 games to go, this is a goddamn brutal last 19 games, I think.
Very.
Lakers as a hard game. Dude, I don't care. It is.
Like, you just never know.
You never know. They have LeBron still. Like, it's not going to be fun to play them. I think Matt Chong just said he's thirsty for more aggressiveness from Shea.
Yeah.
I agree. It was so nice to see him
last
take
night,
that three.
Yeah, last night to me was a comeback game for him.
Except for the fouls. Which seemed to be on the refs. The refs, if you watched
it, I don't know.
It
was another night where it was kind of inconsistent.
Oh, man. It was either, they were either getting hit in the face down low and there was no call. And then, like, for like a 5-minute span, I think it was in the second or third quarter, like, if you looked at someone wrong, it was a whistle.
Yeah, it was weird because there was a lot of calls in the first quarter, especially. Like, it was a really, like, kind of long quarter.
Trez wasn't getting any calls. Trez ended up on the ground a couple of times. And this was going both ways.
No, it was going both ways for sure. Fouls don't bother me. He's getting more aggressive on both ends. I actually couldn't agree more. I think that young guys
like that
are going to foul. They have to figure that game out. Mm-hmm. That game out. Kings came off tough loss to the Bucks and the Bagley injury.
So the Bagley injury, someone just mentioned that on the live stream, that I think is going to give this Kings team even more fuel. I think they're going to rally around him, and they're just going to be like, we're doing this for you now, man.
Yeah.
Like, you were a big part of this. Like, you've been criticized by everyone because our GM picked you over Luka, which, like, isn't his fault.
Yeah.
So, it's...
They also had a point guard, man.
Yeah, for sure. and it's just that thing of, like, I think they're going to be so goddamn tough on Friday.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be fun at all.
It's going to be... I'm always worried about the Kings. We've pretty handedly beat them in every outing.
We have
but
the tiebreaker.
Like,
Kings will make it if the Lakers aren't making the playoffs. Probably. Last night, the Spurs won. Sucked.
Yeah.
Lakers won, which sucked. At least the Kings lost.
The Kings
did. You know, we're still up on them. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to do some more general Clippers talk. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, which you obviously should be, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates everything. The stories feed is great for breaking news. I think they're starting some baseball ones, so there's going to be some Bryce Harper stuff in there. Again, yep. Locked On Net, Twitter, and Instagram.
So, somebody was chiming in, like asking about Wilson Chandler a couple times. Sorry, I missed the username on there. I don't see Wilson Chandler taking Shamet's spot in the starting lineup.
So the lineup, the bench lineup that like Doc's been using of like Chandler, Green, Lou, Trez, and who was the point guard last night? Bev?
Yeah.
That's a really fun lineup.
Yeah. So they played really well, at least to the eye, in that mm-hmm. last game. But they had not as good of a night. I was just looking at the stats earlier.
It does definitely pass the eye test. And Wilson Chandler looks, Green, sorry. Yeah, Green, like, if he wouldn't have gotten 0-for-4 of last night, it would have been his best game.
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
definitely.
The dude brings so much.
But yeah, going back to Wilson Chandler, I see him slotting more into that lineup in the second.
When is he coming back?
Unclear. We still don't have a timetable. He has not traveled with the team for this stretch.
You know who did travel with the team?
Who's that?
Luke Mbau freaking Mute.
Okay.
Yeah, baby. He might be coming back from his, I don't know, robot knee that needed oil.
We saw him in the locker room the other night, and he was getting suited up.
Yeah, he was like in, I think he was shooting around a little bit before.
Yeah, that was before the Mavs game.
He's got that knee must be real goddamn sore.
But that'll be strong to have back in the lineup. I mean, I just really don't know what to expect from Luke. He kind of hasn't looked the same since an injury, but I'm hoping that, like, given the amount of time that he's had to come back, he is, like, fully ready to go.
Same with Chandler, too. I didn't watch a lot of him play a lot this year.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm Philly. Yeah, but he's another guy who all these pros who've played on multiple teams know how to do their job.
Yeah.
So, and him and Gallo have some chemistry from their Nuggets days. It could be nice. I think it'd be a nice boost for Gallo, too.
Definitely.
He kind of needs to be, like, busted out of his slump. I don't know. You want to talk about that sixth man award tweet?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, Hardwood Paroxysm. How do you say it?
I think it's Paroxysm. Paroxysm.
Just said, like, let me just quote the tweet. NBA award voters, I'm going to beg of you again to not just give sixth man of the year to the guy who scores the most points. I think that this last part is a misprint.
Yeah.
The role is so much more and different in that, and the award fundamentally fails to account for it every year.
First of all, don't subtweet Lou Williams like that. Like, tag the fool, dude. If you really want to be mad about it. I think this tweet was about Lou Williams.
I don't see any way that it wasn't.
It's either about him or Jamal Crawford. Like, it's one of those two guys.
M. Chonger said, oh no, that was such a stupid take. I agree, and I do think that there is something more to the six-man argument other than just scoring.
I will.
However, I think I still think the two frontrunners for six-man of the year both are on this team.
They both do more than score. Like, Lou is averaging, I'm pretty sure, someone has to double-check it, he has to be averaging close to a career high in assists.
Yeah.
He has multiple 10-assist games this year. Trez has multiple double-doubles. Like, yeah. They're doing more than scoring.
100%. And it's like, I also see the sixth man of the role year as being like, being not just a vibe thing, but like
I like that.
Like something that leads the team, something that charges up the team. And anytime you put one of these guys on the floor, that's exactly what happens. So
Lou is averaging 23-5 off the bench. I don't know what you want a six man. What else do you want the sixth man of the year to do? Two blocks?
Yeah.
Like a couple of steals?
Yeah.
Like,
and he is averaging about one more assist per game than his career average. So
he's doing his best.
He's doing really, really well.
Another thing with this take also is if your job off the bench is to score and you're scoring,
yeah.
What, like, you want him to go out of his role? Like, you want him to try and do extra stuff?
Yeah,
that
definitely
might ruin his whole thing?
And I think the whole thing, like, sure, you can look at whatever skill set you want for Sixth Man of the Year. But the thing is that the best Sixth Man of the Year are people who are role players. It's somebody who...
That's why they're Sixth Men.
Yeah, it's somebody who feels like they're like a very specific tool that, like, maybe isn't great at every single aspect of the game, but you know what you're going to get when you put that guy on the court. And mm-hmm. I think that that is Lou Will, and that is Montrez.
And Chong just commented on argument. The same guy was also mad that the Clippers are apparently in full tanking mode because we're not starting our best players, which I think is referring to Lou and Trez. But again, the new NBA, that's not how it works.
Oh, yeah. Are you referring? I believe that was another hardwood.
Yeah. Like, that's not how this team works. We're not built like that. We bring these guys. If you watch our starter, we need these guys. These guys don't start.
Yeah.
Like, it's been bad when they've started. So it's just another, like, I don't know. There's a bunch of irrational Clippers hate, I feel like, for our bench players.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's commenting Manu Ginobili averaged 32 minutes a game during his six-man years. Yeah.
Yeah, and exactly.
And he was great in that role.
Lou will win, but he needs to be our facilitator. I don't know about our main facilitator. He kind of is the facilitator off the bench right now.
Yeah, I think he does a pretty darn good job of it. I think as that lineup with him and Trez, obviously, and then some combination of either Temple, if Temple starts hitting shots more like more regularly, or Green when he's knocking down shots, I mean, I think that'll lift his assist numbers even more. But one of the problems has honestly been the spacing on the second unit.
Dude.
And, like, you can only pass so much. Like, you can't pass to people who either aren't open or can't get a good look.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to – you as, like, a scorer, a designated scorer, you're either going to look for the best option to score, or you're going to score yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
And Lou's an instinct guy. If he has one – Lou, for better or for worse, has one read on most plays.
Yeah.
And he's confident in his reads, which is why he and Trez are so good together, because Trez has the same thing.
Yeah.
There were some spacing issues in the Mavs game. Gallo and Lou were on the floor. It was – they did not look good for a couple minutes.
With Gallo and Lou?
Yeah, that one. There was one play where Gallo and Lou were like, I don't know, they were like attached at the hip doing like the same rotation.
Yeah. I remember
and
exactly
it was just like,
what you're talking about.
What the hell is going on right now?
That Shamet passed to the bench last night.
Yeah, Shamet. His facilitating can get a little better, but he's a young guy. Like, I think with how much kind of press he got in Philly, I think we kind of forget how young he is.
Definitely.
Another thing that has the same with Shea.
Yeah.
Like, we got to give these guys a break. I don't think people have been too hard on him, but
no, and I think he's gotten a longer leash.
There was a great play last night where Donovan Mitchell tried to throw like one of those sweet, like across court passes that like teams do. And he just nailed Gobert in the face.
Oh yeah. I think they did still end up recovering the ball though.
Oh yeah, they for sure did. Anything else?
I want to say somebody said something on the live stream, but I can't remember what it was now.
All right, well, we'll get back to it.
Somebody asked if Lopez is like a realistic option. I guess it depends which one you're talking about, Brook or Robin. I would prefer Brook.
Yeah.
I wish we would have picked up Brook in the offseason, but there's no way that he leaves the Bucks. He's doing really well in that role.
And they're just like, shoot the ball wherever you want,
bro. They're probably going to offer him a longer contract, I would guess, just to keep him from going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Please, Brooke. Yeah.
It may be nice.
Yeah, it'd be great. Robin, I don't know. I just don't think we have a need for him right now, especially if we're trying to groom or grow Zubats.
Exactly.
And then, I mean, obviously the center on our second lineup is already figured out. So,
yeah. Guys, that about wraps it up for us on the episode recording. We're going to hang out on Twitter Live for a little bit more. But tomorrow, we're going to be doing some Pacific Division rankings.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be playing Love, Marry, Kill. Huge preview for the insanely important game against the Kings.
Yeah.
That's coming at you tomorrow. Again, we are coming at you Monday through Friday on iTunes. Please review us.
Please.
Like, subscribe.
If you like what you're listening to.
I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.